Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I felt something this morning that was foreign. And my wife was asking me what was going on. And she was looking at the countenance of my face. I was like, well, I don't even know where this is coming from. I don't even know what I'm dealing with right now. But I just thank God for Jesus and how the people of God will continue to press through regardless of how they feel, what's happening, what's moving on, regardless of the struggles, situations, circumstances. See, I believe that the people of God really need to understand and know exactly what this walk with Christ is all about. All about. Last week we had such a wonderful and blessed and glorious time. We were wall to wall with people. But after doing this for so many years, I do understand and I do realize that oftentimes when you have such a great victory against the enemy, he comes back much harder the second time around. And so I'm going to pray for all of those people that couldn't make their way back into the house of the Lord once again. Father, I ask you and I pray that you give these, your people, the strength to do what you have already told them to do. That they not rest just with one Sunday service. That they just not rest with one Easter service, thinking that everything is okay. But we have an adversary, the devil, that seeks to and fro, looking for who they will devour. And so, Lord God, I just thank you right now and I honor you and I praise you. And I pray for them, Heavenly Father, that they will receive the breakthrough that they need in their lives. We honor you, Lord God, and we bless your holy name. I thank you, Lord God, for the people inside of this place. I pray for those that have been sick, become sick and afflicted, Heavenly Father. But we thank you, Lord God, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. And Lord God, we lift up your name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hey, may we have a prophetic word. Go ahead, sister.
I just want to say something really, really quick. I don't want to take a bunch of your time. But I was awakened last night. It was probably 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was awakened and my spirit was disturbed because I had dreamed that someone shot me in the back of my head. And the thing about it was somebody that I knew from the past. And as I was looking, as I had gotten shot, I was actually watching how everything was taking place. And they had dug a huge grave. It was like a grave that was built for probably about 5 or 6 bodies. And it was just one person that had gotten shot. And it was 5 or 6 bodies, and they were going through the processional. And I saw the preacher up there, and he was in a robe, and he was talking about, oh, what a good person she was, and things like that. But the thing about it that just popped in my spirit as we were worshiping God is that when I was walking through the streets and watching this going on, I was telling them, I'm not dead. But I'm not dead. Why are y'all having this funeral? I'm not dead. I'm standing right here. And so they couldn't hear me because their spirits weren't right. They were mourning over what had been, but they don't know what I had become. Because when I was talking to them, I said, I've been resurrected. I'm not dead. I've been resurrected. And I was like, I couldn't figure out what that meant. I woke up. I was touching my husband, and he was like, you all right? Something wrong? What's going on? And I told him about the dream, and I said, God, I don't know what that means. I don't know. I'm in fear. Or I don't know if I'm in unbelief or what was going on. But what he told me to tell you this morning is that somebody has counted you dead. They have counted you out. They have said they have dug 5 graves for you. But I want to encourage you this morning, for what they had thought was dead has been resurrected. Yeah. You are alive, and you need to tell whatever that situation is that is trying to hold you back, that is trying to stop your dreams, that is trying to stop your visions, that you are not dead. You are alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage your heart this morning that you are not dead. Don't you give up. Don't you fear. Don't you have but you stand firm on the word of God, and what he has placed within you, it shall come to pass. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Give God some praise in this place today. Hallelujah. We're in a fight. We're in such a fight. But I believe God. I agree. with what God has said about me. I agree with the word that has gone forward this morning. I agree. I agree. I agree. I agree. Well, amen. I think it's time for the word. Might as well get it to the word. Get it to the word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. This morning's scripture is going to come from out of Romans chapter 12, verses 14 through 21. Romans chapter 12, verses 14 through 21. And before I read the scripture, people of God, this weekend, this Sunday, is not a letdown. It's not a letdown. Not by any means. We penetrated the gates of hell last weekend, and we're still doing so, even right now. How do I know? Because there is always a level of resistance after you beat the devil in his head several times over. And so the countenance on my face is not one of worry, it's not one of sadness, but it's the way that the general looks across the battlefield. And I want to know if the people of God are still willing to fight.
Yeah.
The good fight of faith. Fight your feelings. Fight in that quote unquote feeling some kind of way. Feeling some kind of way is a modern word for spiritual warfare. Mixed emotions. You're not knowing if you should be happy or sad. You can't quite put your finger on it. But that's when you pray. I was praying all this morning. Had my son next to me, talking to him about some things, and I just kept on praying. Lord God, touch your people. Give them the strength to be able to fight. And when they get weary, let them know that you are in their corner. Not so they can just retreat forever, but to wipe the sweat off, get the blood out of their eyes, and get pushed right back into the ring called life. Amen. And I think this message is so appropriate. Romans chapter 12, verse 14 through 21. And it says in verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Empathize. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. A lot of that going around. Repay no one for evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Sounds like a true Christian to me. Verse 19, beloved, I hear this. This is so important. Do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Repeating verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves. Don't try to get them back. Don't try to put shade on Facebook. Don't try to be passive aggressive with your posts. But rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay. I will bring justice, says the Lord. Therefore, what you should do, because I'm going to get them back, says God. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. A quick translation. As one old bishop said, give the devil some sugar. And the title of this morning's message, and it is so appropriate, The Last Avenger. Lord, have mercy. The Last Avenger. Thank you, Mama. Long, long ago, in an ancient civilization far, far away, lived a man who was once an executioner for the religious zealots of his time. He would go from city to city, razing and pillaging homes, seeking to sift out those who called upon the name of the Lord. He was studious and very intelligent. He was energetic and eager to please. He rose to the top of his class under Gamaliel's teaching and used his training to persecute God's people, even to the point of endorsing the stoning of his disciple Stephen. Paul was was watching, this man was watching Stephen as his countenance changed when he went from this life into the next. Then one day, on the way to confront more of those in the Christian faith, this man experienced a transformation like none other. Like none other. He saw a light so bright that it confused his entourage and knocked him off his high horse. In pain and unable to see, this man cries out in anguish and then hears a voice from heaven asking, "Why do you persecute me? Why are you doing my people like that? Why are you messing with my body?" And the man said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the voice declared, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. But get up and go to the city and wait for instructions." This man, as I alluded to earlier, name was Saul, who intimately knows of the one called the Last Avenger. He knows the Last Avenger in such a way that should open your spiritual eyes, even at this time, not only to a God of love and peace and joy, but also to a God of holiness, righteousness, and my favorite, justice. Justice. How does this all tie together, Pastor Martin? I'm glad that you asked. First, let me share with you the irony of the opening text that I shared with you this morning. Not only is the text that I just read prescriptive, in other words, what we should do as Christians, such as loving your enemy and bless those that curse you and give to those that despitefully use you. And when you feel like you want to get somebody back, you give it to God. That is a prescription, but it's also descriptive of what happens when you mess with God's people. Oh, you missed it. It hit me last night. You see, Paul, some people call him Saul, they're interchangeable. When he was persecuting the Christians and doing a bunch of stuff against them and speaking against them, talking out the side of his neck and saying certain things that were very, very awful and even to the point of murdering them and allowing for them to be killed all in the name of God, God never forgot about that. You missed it. God never forgot about how this same man that he is now using did his people. Oh, you'll get it in just a moment. What this description tells us is what we should do if we are the recipient of persecution, and also how we should be cautious if we are the one going against God and his people. Remember, Paul was transformed and blinded to the point that he could not even see because of the glory of the Lord. God stopped him from persecuting more Christians, from persecuting the people that he loves. He was merciful, but did not let Paul get away with what he'd done in the past. See, you can be doing things for God, but if you are going against the things of God and you mess with his children, he may be merciful. He may be loving and caring, but he will surely avenge. Who do you think blinded Paul? It was God. Who do you think knocked him off his high horse? It was God. Who do you think confronted him for all of the things that he was doing against his people? It was God himself. So much so that he was blinded for quite some time and he did not heal rapidly. The scripture says that the scales fell from his eyes, and it took him 3 to 14 years to recover from that incident. So when God says in his word through the instrument called Paul, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," you better believe that he's going to do it. He is the last avenger. Well, what does Jesus say about justice and vengeance and repayment? Well, for those of you that are always wondering, what does God do with people that look like they've gotten away? Well, in Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 8, it says, then he spoke a parable to them that men ought to always pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge. Here come the judge. Who did not fear God nor regard man. Oh, here we go. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And this same judge would not do anything for a while. Would not ever seem like he's going to do anything to avenge this particular individual. But afterward, he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, petitions me, reaches out to me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge him or his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? What does this scripture tell us? Well, if you thought that I was going to give you a spoiler to the movie that just came out over the weekend, I will accept your silent apology. You all should know that I don't wet or dry snitch. Y'all can use that sometime in the future. However, when I think of the word avenger, I can picture a set of heroes that are about to give the big payback. Yeah, just like James Brown, to avenge, settle the score. In the movie, the target, and you see it all on social media, the target is Thanos, which ironically is a nihilistic madman and tyrant bent on taking out half of the universe. For those of you that don't understand nihilistic basically means that I kill without any regard for what's going to happen in the afterlife, because I believe that it does not exist. That's in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is actually fictional. However, in the spirit, there is a deeper truth, because we have an adversary, the devil, who seeks to steal and kill and destroy every child of God and take as many souls to hell as possible. If he could just one snap get rid of everybody, he would. All because he's bent towards God. One is a fictional account. The other is a realistic view of the spirit world that surrounds us daily. The spiritual world is what Paul encountered so deeply that it felt like an out-of-body experience that reached up to the third heaven. Another irony here is that the writing of this verse Paul is talking about, he's actually saying it from personal experience about the God he serves. Not only as a beneficiary, because God could have killed him, and God didn't have to use him to preach and teach and to write 3/4 of the New Testament. That was the mercy, but also justice, because he did get blinded. And he did have to sit up under another person and be in a dry place in Arabia for 3 years, and then had to prove his calling for about 14 years after that. They call it Paul's silent years. Because it's one thing to say, you sorry, I won't do it again, Lord. I won't mess with your people no more, God. I now see the light. And it's another thing to be tested over time to see if you are sincere. And God tested him to make sure that he would never, ever, ever go back and do what he did against his people. He was tearing down churches, and he had him actually planting churches for 14 years without getting any credit, to rebuild back what he tore down. Oh, sweet justice, sweet mercy. In order to understand the God of love and mercy, you have to understand that he doesn't really let folk get away. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about karma here, because karma says you get what you deserve, but grace says you don't get what you do deserve. But sometimes God reminds us, don't play with me. I am the last avenger. God also gave man the blueprint for justice, even in our government. For everybody that's always railing against the government, for those of you that have different types of feelings against the police, not every policeman is trying to pull you over and trying to violate your rights. There are actually some good ones. Some of you are related to many of them. I serve with them. I understand that there's police officers that have God's spirit and those that do not. There are those that follow the law and those that do not. But the majority of them do. So let's not get into a myopic view of what's going on. Because you see things on social media that tends to amplify things to a fever pitch. So let me let you know what God says about those that he has put on the planet in order to mitigate evil in the world. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 4 in the NASB version. It says, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And those which exist are established by God. So yes, the popos, yes, the centurions in the old days, yes, the government that we have is meant to be a natural example of the kingdom of God, even though they don't worship God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. Oh, you don't have to put your hands behind your back because they are violating your rights. But you ran the red light and you got weed in the car. Oh, you got daddy issues and ain't nobody ever talked to you like that. You were raised up by your mama and you talked to your mama any old kind of way. So now when a man comes into your life, it's foreign. Oh, there's always two sides to the coin. Mercy and justice. Mercy and justice. God does not need any scales. He is the scale. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. Some people did not deserve to be shot by the police, but some did because of their disobedience and pride. That's a hard thing to say. Because it doesn't go with the popular narrative. But I tell you this, that a preacher is not a politician. Amen. A preacher is not supposed to be on one side or the other. He is to be neutral in that he is for God. God over everything. Amen. Verse number 3, it says, for rulers are not the cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? No respect for authority? Do you want it to just be anarchy? Do you want it to be like the purge? That's only a glimpse into the future. There is going to come a time where there won't be any space inside of the prisons. And the police officer will say, I won't go down that street tonight. Let them kill each other. It's already happening. If there is a delay, sometimes they're doing it because it is truly a purge. I want you to think about that for a minute. Verse number 3, for rulers are not the cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. In other words, if you ain't do nothing wrong, then you'll be okay most of the time. Verse number 4, for it is a cop, minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing, for it is a minister of God, watch this, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Lord, have mercy. So you mean to tell me the very people that we sometimes say that we don't even want to even speak to us, we call them later and hope that they get there, dialing 911. Come and help prevent me from this evil that is being executed against me. I have a totally different perspective of this, even as a chaplain. For the good officers that I do serve with, in my mind, especially when I do ride-alongs with them, I said, these folk are out here trying to fight evil through the flesh. Trying to stop you and contain it. You know what the worst religion is on the whole world, in the whole world, that's caused a whole bunch of wars? It's not Christianity. It's not Islam. It's not even atheism. It's humanity. humanity is the number one tradition in the world, with religious fanatics that are bent on doing things contrary to God and answer to no one but themselves. So if you see evil in the world, go ahead and mark it up as a count against humanity. That's why we need a God of holiness and righteousness and justice to be able to speak on our behalf when those that are being used by the devil come against us, whether it be through the legal system or whether it be in the spirit. God also has divine justice. Won't be before you long. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35 through 43. I'm giving you a little bit of Bible study tonight. Thursday night is a wonderful time, so I'm going to give you some right now. Verse 35, this is what God means by when he says, vengeance is mine. I used to hear my mom say this all the time. When I want to knock somebody back out because they were trying to bully me at school, I had this one dude. I forgot his name, but I seen him on Facebook a couple of years ago, and he used to try to get with me and try to bully me every single day. Not little did he know I had hands. And I used to be the bully destroyer back in the day. But he used to try to get at me every single day. And I would give him the business every single day. But then I got tired of it. I was like, man, come on. Just chill out. You bust me in my chest, I'm going to try to knock the out of your chest. But eventually we're going to have to stop. But he still kept on trying to do it. And I just started avoiding him. I was like, come on, stop. Cut it out now. But then it came a day when he totally ceased, because I told my mom about it. And she was like, well, I'm going to pray. Oh, Lord. I didn't have a relationship with God back then, especially not in my high school years. None of that. But I asked my mom to pray. And I said, Mama, sometimes I just want to just go to the trunk, if we had one, and pull out that pole and pow, 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 pow. Because he keep on messing with me. I don't like messing with people, but I will finish. And then she'll be like, Andre Jr., don't say stuff like that. You see, some of y'all didn't grow up in neighborhoods where they come back to your house and tell you to come outside and start fighting in the front yard. You don't know nothing about that. But I do. And so I came from that particular worldview for the first 16 years of my life. But my mom said, Andre Jr., don't say stuff like that. And then, as clear as day, she would say, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. God will get him. God will get him. But I'm like, I want to do justice now. I'm a vigilante. I want to go out there and I want to drop them Fifth Ward bees on them. Ghetto boy, never mind. All right, that's okay. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to get the folk back that was messing with me. But when you put it in God's hands, God's justice is totally different, because he does give people that do his people wrong a chance to turn it around. Why is that? Because he gave us a chance to turn it around when we did other people wrong. Oh, you do realize that you're not always innocent. You do realize that some of the very things that you get on people about and try to hold them accountable for are the very things that you do behind closed doors with your prideful self. We have come to a point in time where we don't need to let Facebook be our mask, where people know what you do at the house. Yeah. Verse 35 says, vengeance is mine. This is what God is saying. And retribution, how it's to be carried out. In due time, their foot will slip, for the day of their calamity is near, and the impending things are hastening upon them. For the Lord will vindicate his people and will have compassion on his servants. When he sees that their strength is gone and there is none remaining, bond or free, and he will say, where are their gods now? The rock in which they sought refuge? Where are their gods now? They call themselves God, but they can't raise themselves from the dead. Where are their gods now? Who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offering? Let them rise up and help you, since you were worshiping things outside of me. Let me tell you something as a nice little sidebar. Did you know that atheist is not seen as just not having a belief in God, but it's also worshiping the wrong God? That's in the classical ancient sense, because even if you worship other gods, you still don't believe in the one true God. Even if you believe in other gods, that still says that you don't believe in the one true God. But the wonderful thing about the mercifulness of God is that if you're going through this journey, I was in a conversation or watching a conversation last night about people who are going through their spiritual journey, moving away from the church because you grew up inside of church, therefore you believe that you're a Christian, and now that you grew up in church, you've gone away from it because you've discovered some things. I went through the same situation in my own life. I discovered that Satan has many devices. He has satanic secrets that are seeking to draw people away because they found something on YouTube or in a book somewhere that affirms what they found on a unsubstantiated webpage. So now you're no longer a Christian. You're no longer a believer. You come to church, but you're not really one of the church. And now no one can tell you anything. I was there. And I'm so thankful to God that he didn't kill me where I stood. Because many people do not even recognize or realize when God is exacting his justice on the planet. He chastises his children, but he doesn't let people continue to bother his children. And he doesn't allow for people to continue to go off and flip off at the mouth at him forever. Just because you don't see what happens inside of the prison doesn't mean that it's not happening. Why am I doing this? Are you trying to scare me, Pastor Martinelli? Yeah, a little, because the last Avenger doesn't play. He loves. Let me give you an example. Many parents in here have been the last Avenger as it relates to their children. Let them go ahead and put their hands on my baby and see what happens. You'll be up at the school, you coming out, guns blazing, or at least your mouth, and you're going to read them all the way up and down. They're going to find out about cuss words that did not exist since the 70s. You may be sick, but you're going up to that school today. Today. So if you understand that, why do you not think that God will not do the same for you? He does things differently. He may seem like he's going slow, but when God exacts his justice, if he did it with Paul, and he loved Paul, he let him write the scriptures. But he was still silent for 14 years, blinded, and had to recover for 3 years. So he ain't letting everybody just get away. God loves me, but when I was walking in disobedience, and my wife was warning me about playing football and trying to put football ahead of God, and I still wanted to try to skip out of service and play for these teams, and kept on doing it, then all of a sudden, my knee popped in 5 different places. Tore my LCL, ACL, lateral meniscus. Piece of my bone tore from the top of it. It was done. And it was a non-contact injury. It just happened. And from that point forward, I never missed service. She's laughing about that, but I am not kidding. In my mind, I'm still a football player, but with God, he was like, you are my servant. And I put a thorn in your side as a reminder that you don't need to play with me. And I think that is so important even in today's time. So parents, if you understand how you go up there waving the 4-4, talk about don't, Papa, don't hit me no more when it comes to your children with 2 R's. In the same way God feels about you. And you may feel like the person who has done you wrong over and over, the person that's put you out there, and like they're just getting away with everything. Oh, they are not.
Now, in doing things in the right spirit means you pray for them. Pray for them. Remember, that's what Paul was saying inside of his verse. Bless those that curse you. Bless and do not curse. For vengeance is God. You just going about your business. You treat the person right who's doing you wrong, and it'll be like heaping coals on the top of their head. In other words, they won't understand. They're expecting the worst from you. But when you love on them, when you act like God to them and give them mercy, it does something to a human that knows that they deserve wrath but don't get it. God does that oftentimes to see if the person will turn around. And if they do not, oh, thank you, Jesus. Do you not realize that God tells us as believers to do that, to keep him from coming in the room at night with the belt? It's like going to mama first. Oh, I see the revelation right there. Aren't we the bride of Christ? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Aren't we the bride of Christ? Aren't we the gentle one? Aren't we the one that the people come to first? See, when my sons are in trouble, they go to mama first. When I was in trouble, when I was coming up, I went to mama first because mama had a way with words when it came to my father. If I went straight to the Father, oh, Lord, have mercy. It won't work out too good. My oldest son, he does that. He goes to his mama first because she's comforting. She's loving, but because he wants to avoid the wrath from the Father. But it's something about when mama talks to daddy or when the church prays on behalf of the wicked. Oh, you see that there? You saw what I did there? When the church prays on behalf of the wicked, what we're doing is that we're softening up the blow. When Stephen was being stoned by Paul's cohorts and his entourage, he did not let one curse word come from out of his mouth. He was acting like his Savior Jesus. He was basically saying to himself, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." That's what the word says. I remember that verse. And he didn't say a word. So Stephen, seeing Paul in the distance as he's closing his eyes, he realized that God is going to get you in his due time, a due season. So don't worry about people being got back for coming against you. And this is not even a hater message because we were once haters. Amen. We used to hate on people too. Yeah. We don't like to talk about that part. But if you're sitting in here today, God's been merciful to you too. He sure has. I know with me, because everybody got skeletons up inside of their closet. R. Kelly ain't the only one. Some of us have done what he has done and worse. We just not famous. So let me give you a spoiler alert, and I'm going to get on out of your way. I am going to tell you a couple of things. But before I do that, let me go ahead and finish verse number 38. Verse number 38 says, "Who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offering? Let them rise up and help you. Let them be your hiding place." In other words, God is basically saying, okay, since you got all these gods, since you don't need me, since you got all these religions out there, call on those things and see if they're going to work or not. Let's see who's standing at the end. There's a little bit of level of wisdom in that. I have no problem with people worshiping their religions that they want to. I have no problem at all. Because deep down, while one part of me is like, hey, you're going down the wrong path, the other part of me is saying, you know what? If God be true, then let every man be a liar. And if my God be God, just like the prophet Isaiah, he will rain fire down and stand alone. Therefore, I don't have to say anything. So spoiler alert. Verse 39 says, "See now that I am he, and there is no God besides me. It is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded," which is what he did to Paul, "and it is I who heal," which is what he did to Paul. "And there is no one who can deliver from my hand. I remember when I was coming up, when I used to do stuff bad, did something really bad. I did a number of things bad, but there was an instance where I went to mama after doing something bad. Maybe it was getting in a fight, or maybe it was getting the F in citizenship. God almighty, I've did that before. How do you get an F in referrals and citizenship? I know. And so I would tell mama, I'm sorry. I won't do it anymore. Can you talk to daddy for me? Talk to daddy for me. I don't know, Andre Jr. I just don't know. My mom was like, she knows that. That's exactly how my mom sounds. I don't know, Andre Jr. I'll talk to him and see what happens. And then she would go into the room, close the door. They would go back and forth. And she would come out with tears in her eyes and be like, I can't do nothing with him. I tried to talk with him, but you're going to have to talk to your father. And then she would just hide away in the room. And then I would hear, Andre Jr., come to my bedroom. And then all of a sudden, I was just doing this the whole time. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you must be a millennial. But I'm talking about everybody with Gen X. This is when you getting a whooping and you just hollering out. And my wife, my brothers, my sisters come in the door looking and peeking around. And my dad would be like, go sit down. And they'd be like, oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. He tore my butt up. So there are some times when even the church can't hold back God. He will repay regardless. He's the righteous judge. So let me give you the spoiler alert. Come on, Al, I'm getting on out of here. Let me give you a spoiler alert for this thing. This movie called Life, starring the last Avenger. And it is this. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you about the end game. And what is the end game, people of God? Well, for every enemy that has come against God and his people, this is what vengeance looks like. Revelation chapter 20, verse 7 through 12 says, now when the 1,000 years have expired, and this is in the book of Revelation, this is a period of time where Jesus Christ will be ruling in the earth and ruling his people, but there will still be people that will be bent against him, but will be powerless. It is saying in this particular verse that Satan will be released from his prison and empower wicked people once again. And this is in the future. Hopefully I'm dead. Verse 8 says, and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. Some believe that these are Russian nations or people who are bent against God that's going to come and rush down into the land of Israel to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. You thought people hated Israel. Now you have not seen anything yet. There will be nations upon nations that will come and converge down on this one particular place that is supposed to represent God's people. Now, at this moment in time, it's not just talk about the Jewish people. Oh, no. It's also talking about those who are saved by God will be afflicted from every single side. Get rid of those believers. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city called Jerusalem. You get where I'm getting my picture now. It didn't say Jews. It said saints. That means those that are saved, right? This is in the future. And the beloved city, New Jerusalem. And watch this. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured every single last enemy. So what we have here is that we have armies from every corner of the globe that's converging to try to get rid of God's children. They are numerous. It looks like the sand of the sea. You thought that China's army was strong. No. It looks like a little lake right there. This is converges from every single side to totally eliminate them with the power of the devil driving them. But look at what happens in verse 10. The devil who deceived him was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. What you see right here is the result of coming in contact with the last Avenger. At the end of the age, at the true end game of all mankind, God will be sitting on his throne called the Great White Throne Judgment. But there's also another throne called the Bema Seat, which is the one that Jesus Christ will be sitting on. For those of you that are saved, and even those of you that are not, please understand that everybody on this planet will be judged. Not only based on their salvation, but also what you do even as a Christian. For the saved, for the sheep, hear me clearly. When you die and you go before the Lord, it will be Jesus Christ in the Bema seat, the seat of mercy. He represents the groomsman, not the Father. Jesus will be standing there and he will judge you, not on your past, not on the wickedness, but based on what you did for him. You get what I'm saying? Every time that you lead somebody to Jesus Christ, every time that you bring someone to church, every time you speak an encouraging word, every time you share the gospel, even at your own expense, God says in his word that you will receive rewards. We don't know what those rewards are, but it will be a distinguishing element to all of the other saints there that I did my work as a Christian. I didn't just get saved, come to church, and didn't say nothing to anyone. I didn't have a personal Jesus. I didn't have a private Jesus. I had a public one because I understood that souls are at stake. If you stand before Jesus, your past will not even come up. The judgment will be, what did you do for me? And I will give it to you accordingly. Enter into my kingdom. Rest now, here and forever. But then those that are wicked, those as represented by the goats, those that said that there is many ways to God, to those that say that there is no God, to those that say that God does not exist, or their actions were bent against God, but yet they're sitting in church every single Sunday. Those that grew up in church but didn't follow Jesus Christ, they will stand there right before God, before the white throne judgment, and they will be judged for their past because there will be no advocate. They're in a different part of the courtroom. See, you have two sides of court. You have adjudication withheld. In other words, you did some stuff, but it ain't going to be counted against you. And then there's sentencing. You're going to get everything that you deserve because I am the last Avenger. To those that are unbelievers, whether they be in church, watching online, or never set foot in the building, you will answer for everything that you have done. And no one will be able to hold him back, just like my mama was not able to hold my daddy back. And that's the reason why, as saints of God, we should continue to preach the gospel, because we don't want anybody to go to a burning hell. We want them to be saved, delivered, set free. We want to be that aggravating co-worker, that sister or brother that says, come to church with me. Learn about God the right way so that you will have a chance to have your rewards and not just be a simple Christian. I hope this message to you today was one that was penetrating, one that is powerful, one that resonates in your soul. This has been on my mind for quite some time, because the older I get, I know that I won't be living forever. And the older that I get, I understand that one day I will see Jesus before me. And I want to do whatever I need to do not only to get the rewards, but lead people to Jesus Christ. Whether it be full like it was last Sunday, or the faithful few that come today, your souls matter to God and they matter to me. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We honor you, Lord God, and we bless your holy name. We thank you, Lord God, that you are the last avenger. You are our Father that is in heaven. We thank you, Lord God, for protecting us. We thank you, Lord God, for rendering justice. We thank you, Lord God, for teaching us how to treat others as you begin to exact that justice, however long it will take. Teach us to be patient. Teach us how to not just take things into our own hands, out of the flesh, but to go deep in prayer into the Spirit, for you will repay all those that hurt us and came against us. We thank you, Lord God, and we honor you. We respect you, God, and we bless your holy name. You are over everything in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. The last avenger. The last avenger. Well, I hope and pray that the message touched your heart. And at this moment in time, it is time for us to sow a seed. Now, usually the preacher takes a risk when he preaches these type of messages. But I believe that there are many of you that really, truly receive this type of truth. And we receive this truth because it's needed in the house of the Lord today. It is so needed for us to respect God and his people for who he is. Not fear him and be scared of him, but really know that he don't play the radio. God is beautiful. He is like the ocean. God is beautiful. He's like the thunder and the lightning going across the sky. It looks great from a distance, but you know that it can kill you. Always remember that the voice of the Lord is like many waters. He's like the beautiful ocean on the cruise ship, but if you were to sink, you will still die. Honor God. Respect God. Don't play with them. And when you do wrong, ask God to forgive you and pray for mercy, that it gives you a second chance. And most of the time, he does. Always remember that, people of God. Amen, amen. Go ahead and get a seed in your hand. Smile. Yeah. Smile. Come on. Amen. With Jesus, you can live your best life after this one. Amen. Smile. Smile. All right, let's get some upbeat music. We ain't at a funeral. Ain't nobody died. Thank you, dear. Ain't nobody died. We good. Oh, and we got some announcements. Come on up.
Yes, I just have a couple of announcements really quick. Some things that are coming up next weekend. So I just want to make sure that everybody is aware of those things. This coming Saturday, May 4th, is our Women's Expo. The title of it is I Am My Sister's Keeper. And as you can see on the flyer that is on the screen, it is regarding empowerment, networking, and growing. And the general admission is only $5. And if you're interested in being a vendor, then the fee is only $20. So we want to make sure that you invite someone, ladies, to this event. Once again, this event is in place of our normal meetings. We have we meet on Fridays or Saturdays, the first of every month. So instead of us meeting together, we want to meet here at this awesome event. So if you need more information about this event, see Sister Alicia Winsley, or you can see Sister Kile Mara. They made an excellent video about the event. So if you have any questions about it, then make sure that you look on Facebook and you'll see the question and answer session that they had on that. Also, next Sunday, May 5th, there's going to be a family fest at Crane's Roost. It's Uptown Altamont is also the name of the area. May 5th from 12 o'clock to 5 p.m. There's going to be kids' activities, games, a fishing derby for any men or women who like to fish, because I like to fish. And also, there's going to be face painting, music and dance, inflatables, helicopters, the whole nine yards. And most importantly, Truth Learning Academy is going to be one of the vendors. vendors at that event. So if you don't mind, if you don't have anything to do, or you know, you just want to have a little bit of fun, then go out to the Family Fest. Take your family. If you don't have a family here with you, you can come with us. You're our family, right? Are we all family?
Yeah.
All right, so we're all family. You don't have to go alone. You can come with all of us to the Family Fest next Sunday at Uptown Altamont from 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. Also, as a continual announcement, Truth Learning Academy is enrolling, but the spaces are filling up. I'm telling you, the spaces are filling up, so make sure you have a child that is of daycare age that you enroll your child. Now, is everybody listening?
Yes.
I just want to make sure everybody here is. Everybody. Okay, just making sure. So, if you don't have any children that are daycare age, pick up some flyers. And when you see children in Publix or in Winn-Dixie, Walmart, all these, pass out the flyers. Even those who might be a little rowdy, that's okay, because bring them on to the house, and we have awesome teachers who are willing to work with all students. So pass out the flyers. If you don't have any children that are daycare age, take a stack of flyers with you. I know that we see children almost every day, and some parents are ready to, you know, release their child into the hands of care of our teachers. Did I say that in a good way? I hope so. All right, and then also, Camp Vision is going to be this summer, only $75 per week, and that includes 2 to 3 field trips. And we were at an event yesterday, Healthy Kids at the YMCA, and people were looking at that price, $75 per week, and they were like, that's practically free. And it really is, because there were a bunch of other camps there that were very, very expensive, but they don't even offer the things that we are offering. Our camp is unique. Our camp is the bomb. I'm sorry, teenagers, but our camp is the bomb, and our camp is better than their camps. So, and it's only $75. So enroll your children in the camp, but you need to do it today. I'm telling you, because all those people that were walking by and coming through, they were like, $75? Where do I go to register? So they're registering their kids, maybe even right now. So make sure that you register your kids before there is no more space, because space is limited, okay? And those are all the announcements that I have for today. Unless I'm missing anything, I think that's it. Amen. Sign up today.
Make sure you sign up for camp. VPK and school readiness is also there. And going forward as well, so make sure that you enroll your children for that. We don't just talk about stuff we're going to do, we are doing it, and it is already in motion as well. Also, if you are aware of any body that has the proper qualifications to teach 2 to 3 year olds, we are hiring. Church is hiring? Y'all hire people? I thought y'all just take people money. No, we don't take anybody's money, y'all. Not like that. You give and you donate. So we are hiring teachers. So if you know someone that is looking for a job, please let them know. But they have to have their 45 hours and they have to be qualified. We can't have no bootleg teachers in there, all right? We can't have it. We have to have people that are qualified, that are active, that know what they're doing, and that they love the Lord, all right? But they also know how to work with all different types of people, okay? Amen. This is a Christian daycare, but it's not a church service, all right? All right. So we are going to actually learn about things that have a curriculum. There are lesson plans. It's not a babysitting service. It is not a babysitting service. Amen. All right. All hearts and minds cleared. Has everybody given? That has given. If you have not given, please do so. If you skip several Sundays, make sure that you do so. So Pastor Martin won't have to do the post on Facebook that everybody ignores anyway. And then I got to go into my pocket, or I got to talk to the owner about stuff. We don't even want to do that. If we're trying to do things in the community that you have to support continuously, if I see you out on the weekend spending $700, $800, $80, $90 going to the movies, that means you can give too.
Amen.
Another statistic before we get on out of your way, and have the people already given, or they're waiting to give? They've already given? All right. So for those of you that are at home, make sure that you go to our website and make sure that you sow a seed online. Don't forget that. But I wanted the people to know this one little fact about Divine Truth. Do you know that we have over 98% employment inside of our church? Did you know that? Amen. So everybody in the parking lot don't have cars. Let's all break it down. It's not like that. Jobs are out there. People are doing good. But we want you to make sure that you keep Jesus first in everything. That is the secret to the success. You may go through some things, but when you got stuff and when you got things going on in your life, remember, always keep God first in your finances, in your health, in your wealth. During good times, we came through a recession. This church was born in a recession, yet here we are. Continue to go forward. And my last note, you saw how exciting it was to invite everybody to church on Easter. Guess what? 99.9%, unless God sees differently, we're going to have service next week. Keep that same energy. Isn't that what the young people say? Keep that same energy. Did I say it right? I didn't say it right. Akile, okay. I did. Okay. All right. All right, Brianna. If I didn't say keep that same energy, just help me out. All right. So keep that same energy. Continue to invite people because we all got it going on, y'all. All right. Let's go ahead and get on out of here. Come on, stand to your feet. As we watch between me and Dee. No, I don't even know what that is. All right. So, Father, thank you for this time. We pray, Heavenly Father, for safety as we go to our dwelling places. I pray, Lord God, that we have a dynamic and fruitful week, a productive week. Lord God, I pray against every enemy that is coming against your people, that you will cast them down and remove them out of the way. Remove every stumbling block from your people, Heavenly Father. Let there be breakthrough this week. Let there be miracle signs and wonders. And Lord God, I pray that you answer the prayers of your children that so earnestly need you to do a move. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Good afternoon. See you next Sunday.